Well, good morning, everyone.
Good morning.
Welcome to Unity Center for Positive Living. My name is Susan, and we are going to start today by hearing from the Daily Word. The word today is joy, which is also the theme of this week of Advent. The affirmation is, my Advent journey leads me to joy. There is a stirring in the air that calls me to rejoice. The imminent birth of the Christ into humanity is an exciting time. Joy is the welcoming of unconditional love and the deep knowing it is the birthright of all the world's beings. It is the awe felt at the birth of a baby, the scent of crisp, clean air, or watching a comet flame across the night sky. These are some of the wonders that bring me joy. I need not wait for these serendipitous happenings to awaken my joy. As I have embarked on the Advent journey, I have grown in faith, peace, and love. With joy, my Advent journey is nearing completion. This wonderful feeling of deep contentment, a full heart, and tranquil mind leads to the expectancy of the birth of the Christ within, the greatest gift I could receive. And from Matthew 2:10, when they saw the star had stopped, they were overwhelmed with joy. And this morning, Joanne is going to come up and light our Advent candles.
Oh, not yet.
Oh,
I haven't advanced that far yet. Okay. We relight the candles of faith, peace, and love. And on this fourth Sunday of Advent, we light the candle of joy. Dear God, during these last 3 weeks of Advent, we have been contemplating faith, peace, and love. We now add the experience of joy.
Hang on 1 second. Maybe.
Oh, louder.
Oh, sorry.
We now add the experience of joy. We turn to you with such joy in our hearts. Joy lives within us as part of your spiritual nature, an expression of your love flowing through us. Each time we smile or laugh, we are reminded of the joy that fills our lives. Happiness flows throughout our beings, and we are blessed by the gladness of you in us. Our hearts overflow with joy for your presence in our lives, dear God. And from Luke 2:20, the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all they had heard and seen, as it had been told to them.
Thank you. Oh, okay, let's see here. So we have only the Christ candle left, but since you all will be tucked in at home on Tuesday night, I will light that now if I have enough hands here. Christmas is more than the traditional celebration of Jesus' birth. Metaphysically, it represents the birth of the Christ within. The Christ is the highest expression of God in humankind. It refers to a consciousness and energy that existed in potential even before Jesus' time, but Jesus brought it into full manifestation. Advent is a time for us to rediscover and rebirth the Christ in us. In our daily lives, it is easy to get stuck on our spiritual journey. we reach plateaus and become comfortable. An annual birthing of the Christ within means that we are able to see and feel our spiritual path in a completely new way. Advent gives us a chance to look at our spiritual practices and ask ourselves, what is being birthed in me now? How can I experience the Christ within on a deeper level? The energy and consciousness of the Christ are already within us. As we see with new eyes, we bring them into fuller expression. We are reborn, restored, and renewed. And from Luke 2:11, to you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is the Messiah, the Lord.
Okay, I'm going to turn it off this time so it doesn't sound so horrible going in here. Because I am a tech goddess. Don't laugh.
I agree. You're amazing.
Okay. So we will sing Surely the Presence, and we'll sing that two times through. So here we go. Together. There is only one presence and one power, active as the universe and as my life, God the Good. And our welcoming songs are some more of our favorite carols, and we are going to sing O Come All Ye Faithful, and Joy to the World, and Angels We Have Heard on High. The first is on 286. So please stand and let's make a joyful noise.
Maybe I can do what I'm doing. Huh? Here we go.
Thank you.
280, Joy to the World. Angels We Have Heard on High, page 279. Sing Christmas carols. You guys sound really good. Okay, that's it, right?
Yeah.
So don't sit down because we're going to greet each other, and you can offer a hand or a hug or whatever you're comfortable with, and let's do that.
Yeah, I know. So for 40 years old.
I'm a Beth, but yes, Elizabeth is my middle name. I'm actually CJ Elizabeth. That was my birth name, but I. Lots of things have happened in my life, like a mom name. Change Elizabeth.
Hey, you and Ben, good to meet you. You said you got some flowers here, huh? From the water.
Looks like Phil's in that. Looks like. Thinking about it. You just need to wait and see how he does.
Let's have everybody turn around and wish Fred Merry Christmas, Fred.
Merry Christmas, Fred. Hopefully there are 12, Ben. Did you get 12? No, I saw you counting the candles. I hope we came out right. Oh, good. All right.
Including the five more, there's 32.
Whoa, yeah, that's a lot. Okay, so it's time for our gratitude share. And if something especially wonderful has happened for you this week and you are thankful, you could share that with us. And I'm going to start. Jerry, you're number two. And I'm just really grateful for all the people who have signed up on the list downstairs to help out in the next couple of months. People are really generously sharing of their time and talent. So we still have a few spots. So when you go downstairs, it's by the TV. And don't think you can't do it because I know each one of you is up to it, so. Oh, I'm sorry, that was supposed to be one sentence. Well, anyway, that's how grateful I am, a paragraph full. Jerry.
Well, I'm glad to have my grandson with me for the holidays.
Yeah. We always love it when Samuel comes. Welcome. Joyce.
Okay, mine's a paragraph.
Okay.
I'm grateful for all your prayers and good thoughts when Phil had his surgery. And I'm grateful our good friend from Bellingham came down and spent a week to help. And I'm super grateful that my mom's here visiting for a week.
So for those, for Fred, Joyce is grateful for all the prayers and good wishes for Phil during his surgery and the help from a friend coming down from Bellevue and having her mom here during the holidays. Phil.
I'm thankful for all the help and all the support I've been given as part of that surgery, but I think everything is going along just fine. I'll see the doctor tomorrow, so I'll know exactly what's going on.
Great, okay. Phil is also grateful for all the help and the support. And he's going to get a report tomorrow, and it's going to be all good news.
We all know.
No, I'm sure. I'm sure. Anyone else? Beth.
I'm grateful for my grandsons. I got to take all three of them shopping for their parents on Wednesday.
Oh, boy.
And but we found like this cart that fit all three of them, and it worked out great. They had really a lot of fun. So I'm grateful for those opportunities to get to do
that. Nice.
Things.
Yes. Time with grandkids and family in general is wonderful. Ben. Oh, yeah. Ben got some of the starts off of the, we heard 50 perhaps year old Christmas cactus at the back. So he's going to start a whole new plant.
Nice.
Eileen.
I got two. I'm going to do like a middle schooler. Two things.
Go for it. Put the first one first.
The first one, I am very grateful that my mom had what is hopefully her last kidney surgery this week.
Oh.
So she should be feeling much better soon. And I am grateful for our fabulous garden room downstairs where we got to host yet another family gathering for our Christmas celebrations yesterday. It's awesome.
Nice. Bravo. So Eileen is grateful for our space downstairs that we rent out, and they had a family Christmas holiday there, and her mother has just had hopefully her last surgery that will help with her kidneys. Tom, did you have something?
I do. I wanted to send out thanks to those wonderful people at Unity of Olympia for hosting the Spiral, Solstice Spiral last night. It was incredible.
Cool.
We heard the Mercurs doing the songs and had Mike play his harmonium.
Mm. Nice. Yeah. Yeah. The spiral walk at Unity of Olympia. Maybe we'll all get that on our calendars for next year. Okay, well, that's a lot of goodness. Thank you, everyone. And so it's time for our announcements. I know that today after church, we're having a bit of a feast downstairs, so make sure you join us for that. This afternoon from 3 to 4:30, Circle America is talking about Cabrini, the movie that we saw here on Thursday night. The information should have all come to you in the email Penny sends out. It's really a wonderful story about an incredible woman. And show up, even if you didn't see the movie, I know that the discussion will inspire you and then you'll want to see the movie. On Monday night is our last Soup Supper Advent film, and it's going to be Polar Express. Believe. And the dinner is going to be breakfast, so come and bring your favorite breakfast food and all of your Christmas excitement.
5:30.
What did I say?
No, you didn't say
it. Oh, 5:30. Come to 5:30. Yes, okay. Next week here we are having the Burning Bowl and the White Stone Ceremony, and Eileen will lead us in that, and Joanne. And the following week on January 5th is our annual meeting. We'll be voting for board members and talking about our outreach monies. Please do come to that. We have some correspondence from Fred and Sandy. You know, they moved and we've had some challenges with their address, and things have been sent and come back and sent again. And so I think we're all straight now. And we have a couple of cards expressing their gratitude for us remembering them and sending them prayers and greetings. And if you need their updated address, I happen to have that, so you can talk to me later. And don't forget to sign up downstairs to be helpful on one of these coming Sundays. Anything else? Okay, then you are announced up. And And so then we're going to say our unity statement at this point. Oh, wait. Yes, we are. Okay, if you would join me, please. We believe in our oneness with all life and the power of love. We teach universal principles and values as taught by Jesus and others, revealing the one God presence. We practice prayer, meditation, and service to be conscious of our oneness in God. And our songs of joy are Bring a Torch, Jeanette Isabella, Go Tell It on the Mountain, and God Rest You Merry Gentlemen, which is on 284 and not up on the screen. So make sure you open up your hymnal. So we're starting, oh wait, I guess the first one's not in the thing either, is it?
It should be up there, she typed it up.
I know, but it's not in the hymnal.
No.
Okay, but you all know it. And yes, please join Phil in standing up. Mountain is on page 269. God rest you, merry gentlemen.
Rest you, merry gentlemen, let nothing you dismay. Remember Christ our Savior was born.
Thank you so much, Joyce. And it's time for our reading, and this morning that will be given to us by Beth.
Good morning and Merry Christmas. I will be reading from this book by Richard Rohr called Preparing for Christmas, and I'm reading the meditation from the fourth Sunday of Advent. From Isaiah chapter 7, verse 14. Therefore, the Lord himself will give you a sign. Look, the young woman is with child and shall bear a son, and shall name him Emmanuel. The blind faith of Mary and Joseph. Kingdom people are history makers. They break through the small kingdoms of this world to an alternative and much larger world, God's full creation. People who are still living in the false self are history stoppers. They use God and religion to protect their own status and the status quo of the world that sustains them. They are often fearful people, the nice proper folks of every age who think like everybody else thinks and who have no power to break through, or as Jesus's opening words when he started his ministry, to change. How can we really think that Mary, if she thought like any good Jewish girl was trained to think, could possibly be ready for this message? She had to let God lead her outside of her box of expectations, her comfort zone, her dutiful religion to follow the leader. She was very young and largely uneducated. Perhaps theology itself is not the necessary path, but simply integrity and courage. Nothing said at the synagogue would have prepared Mary or Joseph for this situation. They both had to rely on their angels. What proper bishop would trust such a situation? I wouldn't myself. All we know of Joseph is that he was a just man, also young and probably uneducated. This is all an affront to our criteria and a way of evaluating authenticity. So why do we love people like Mary and Joseph and then not imitate their faith journey, their courage, their non-reassurance by the religious system? These were two lay people who totally trusted their inner experience of God and who followed it to Bethlehem and beyond. There is no mention in the Gospels of the two checking out their inner experiences with the high priest, the synagogue, or even their Jewish scriptures. Mary and Joseph walked in courage and blind faith that their experience was true, with no one to reassure them they were right. Their own safety net was God's love and mercy, a safety net they must have tried out many times, or else they would never have been able to fall into it so gracefully. So I invite you to reflect, in what ways do you trust your own inner authority? Do you fear you are being rebellious if you do? Were Mary and Joseph rebellious? And a final question that goes along with our Advent theme, is the manger of your heart prepared for the birth of the Christ anew in you?
Thank you so much, Beth. And our meditation song this morning are our two final hymns, O Little Town of Bethlehem, on page 273, and Away in a Manger on page 271. So you can stand up or sit down, whatever feels right to you.
Thank you.
271. And thank you, Joyce, our fabulous musician. So next, we will say our affirmations together. And if you would join me now, please. I am a joyous being of light. I am the love of God in expression. I am grateful for all that I am. I am one with the abundant nature of the universe. I am healthy, active, whole, and happy. I am at peace, knowing everything I need comes to me in the perfect time and in the perfect way. And on this fourth Sunday, we will say our prayer. Mother, Father, Principal, Spirit Divine, who dwells in all, we are grateful for your infinite blessings. As we align with divine will to co-create heaven on earth, you fulfill all our needs. We embrace all of life, knowing you also embrace all of life. We know you are always present. Your love, power and presence are right here, right now, and always, and so it is. And we will sing the Alleluia. To be doing our 12 power candle lighting, and we are going to begin by hearing the Christmas story from Luke, read by Mark. Aha, you've got your digital Bible. Awesome.
My digital Bible right there. Good. This is the birth of Christ. It's Luke 2, 1 through 21. In those days, Caesar Augustus issued a decree that a census should be taken and of the entire Roman world. This was the first census that took place while Quirinius was the governor of Syria. And everyone went to their own town to register. So Joseph also went up from the town of Nazareth in Galilee to Judea, to Bethlehem, the town of David, because he belonged to the house of David. He went there to register with Mary, who was pledged to be married to him and was expecting child. While they were there, the time came for the baby to be born, and she gave birth to her firstborn, a son. She wrapped him in clothes and placed him in a manger because there was no guest room available for them. And there were shepherds living out in the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flocks at night. An angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid.
I bring you good news that will cause great joy for all the people. Today in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is the Messiah, the Lord. This will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in clothes and lying in a manger. Suddenly, a great company of the heavenly host appeared with an angel praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest heaven, and on earth peace to those whom his favor rests." When the angels had left them and gone into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let's go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has told us about." So they hurried off and found Mary and Joseph and the baby who was lying in the manger. When they seen him, they spread the word concerning what had been told them about this child, and all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherds said to them. But Mary treasured up all these things and pondered them in her heart. The shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things that they had heard and seen, which were just as they had been told. On the eighth day, when it was time to circumcise the child, he was named Jesus, the name the angel had given him before he was conceived. And I would also like to read 1 John 14:1 through 6. Jesus comforts his disciples. And one of the reasons I like this so much is it's got Tom in it. And Tom is one of my favorite disciples because he's always asking questions, which I always do. "Don't let your hearts be troubled. You believe in God. Believe also in me. My Father's house has many rooms. If that were not so, what have I told you, that I am going there to prepare a place for you? And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come back and take you to be with me, that you also may be where I am. You know the way, the place where I am going." Then Thomas said to him, "Lord, we don't know where you are going, so how can we know the way?" Jesus answered, "I am the way, I am the truth, and I am the life. No one comes to the Father except through me." And then Matthew 7, 13 and 14. "Enter through the narrow gate, for the gate and the broad is the road that leads to destruction, and many enter through it. But small is the gate and narrow is the road that leads to life, and only a few will find it." Thank you.
Thank you very much.
Reverend Kelly Isola created this candle lighting ceremony using the elements of the Christmas story, and it is a way it's a way to remember the 12 powers of mankind as 12 living lights, always expressing, always unfolding. And if you are a candle lighter, I think you know where to line up, and if you would come forward, we will light these fabulous candles and hear the story about each color and each power.
Thank you, angels.
All right, so do you want us to use that, or we just leave it there?
Yeah, just leave it there.
Okay. Blue is faith. Mary. Mary has a very special place in our hearts because she is the quintessential activity of faith. The angel Gabriel, a divine visitor, knocked on the door of her heart, asking her to do the impossible. The news probably brought some fear and filled her with questions. Yet the moment she stepped forward in faith and into an unknown future, she created a space within herself for infinite possibilities to be born. We light this candle to acknowledge our living light of faith, the light that calls us to forgive more fully and love more deeply. It calls each of us to be greater than we could have ever imagined.
light, green is strength, shepherds. In the Gospel of Luke, the shepherds were tending to their sheep when the angels appear. They are doing what they have done for generations, watching over what is precious and necessary for life. They represent the enduring, living light of strength, the power and purity of steadfast perseverance we embody as we navigate life. The shepherds are that voice within us, reminding us that we are not alone. We light this candle to acknowledge our living light of strength, the light that carries us through our joys and our sufferings. The light of strength allows us to watch over what is the most precious in our own lives because we know God is everywhere present.
Yellow is wisdom, the three wise men. In the time of Jesus, the Magi, or wise men, had wisdom by being in touch with another reality. When they had the vision of Jesus' birth, they chose to act on it, at great risk to their own well-being. The Magi represent our capacity to seek guidance and answers, and to use that wisdom to create a world that works for all. We light this candle to acknowledge our living light of wisdom, the light that is the link between our divine and human nature. Wisdom directs us to act as love, compassion, joy, peace, and all divine ideas, bringing the invisible world into reality.
Pink is love, gifts of the Magi. In the Gospel of Matthew, the gifts the wise men bring to Jesus are gold, frankincense, and myrrh, rare, precious, and priceless in Jesus' world. The Magi traveled from faraway nations and knelt before the Christ child as a sign of love and devotion. These gifts remind us that we are each worthy of giving and receiving the priceless gift of love and belonging. We light this candle to acknowledge our living light of love, the light reminding us the Christmas story heralds the birth of a person who loved selflessly, and any person who loves in this way is fully alive with the gifts of the Magi.
Purple is power, Bethlehem. In Hebrew, Bethlehem literally translates as the house of bread. In early Christianity, it began to mean the house of living bread, which we would call the power of truth. The power is the foundation on which we stand, infusing our words, thoughts, and deeds to transform the world. We light this candle to acknowledge our living light of power, the light that is the embodiment of the Christ. We leave echoes of perfection when speaking words of truth. The power of our presence in this world is the greatest gift we can offer humanity.
Light blue is imagination, the star of Bethlehem. In the Gospel of Matthew, the wise men were guided by the star of Bethlehem to the newborn baby. It lit their path, allowing them to follow a way to the beginning of a new world. The star symbolizes our ability to imagine and envision a transformed world and allow that vision to express the Christ. We light this candle to acknowledge our living light of imagination, the light we use to create and give shape to the sacred and to form God into what the world needs most. Compassion, joy, love, courage, and peace.
Silver is will. The angel Gabriel comes to Mary to let her know she will miraculously give birth to a child. Little did she know he would become a way shower for the world in how to love, give, and forgive. The word angel means messenger from God. This divine visitor knocking on Mary's heart with a message that seems impossible reminds us that our angels represent the will of our higher self, leading and calling us to forgive more fully and love more deeply. We light this candle to acknowledge our living light of will, the light that is our willingness to say yes to that which is calling us to be greater than we could have ever imagined.
Gold is understanding, Joseph. Joseph, husband of Mary and father to Jesus, inspires us to view life through another's eyes. Joseph's character is strong and quiet, yet he has a desire to know the world in a more profound way, regardless of his challenges. We light this candle to acknowledge our living light of understanding, the light that is our ability to stretch and see with new eyes, taking in all that is happening, not just with our senses, but with our hearts and minds. This spiritual understanding leads us to know the peace that surpasses all human understanding.
Red is life, Jesus. Christmas comes at the darkest time of the year, the setting in which Jesus' birth stories were written. It is any wonder that we yearn for the rich language of light, luminous, blazing, glowing, illuminating, radiant, sparkling, shining, brilliant. Light is deep within us as the symbol of what is most sacred, divine, and alive. It is life itself. We light this candle to acknowledge our living light of life, which is the expression of vitality, wholeness, and creativity as demonstrated by Jesus. His birth and life remind us, show us, that we are infused with that same divine presence he embodied and have the power and potential to express the eternal activity of God in all things and in all ways.
Orange is zeal, heavenly hosts. The prophet Isaiah wrote that a child will be born, the Prince of Peace, and the heavenly host will express the zeal of the Lord. In the Gospel of Luke, the heavenly hosts ring out the song of Jesus' birth. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of heavenly hosts, a truly awe-inspiring image to represent the universal force that urges us to grow and enthusiastically move forward in life. We light this candle to acknowledge our living light of zeal, the light that is the inward fire of the soul, passionately springing forward to manifest our Christ nature here on earth.
Dark green is divine order, manger. The writer of Luke tells us that when Jesus was born, he was wrapped in cloth and laid in a manger. This is an extraordinarily humble beginning, yet that simple, often unseen barnyard trough is a symbol for that current of spiritual law that is ever present and always accessible. We light this candle to acknowledge our living light of divine order, the light that is the naturally ordered, hidden current of life we are always aligning with in order to bring forth a world in a balanced and harmonious way.
Russet Israelis, prophets and King David. In scripture, Jesus' lineage and connection to King David are highlighted, as are the prophets who foretold the coming of a Messiah. These characters show us that while our story matters where, who, and what we come from, they also invite us to see what we may need to let go of on our spiritual journey. We light this candle to acknowledge our living light of release, the light of surrendering to spirit and releasing old thoughts, feelings, and experiences that are not for our highest good.
Mm-hmm.
And so now I invite you to come forward and pick up a white candle here, and you can light it on any or all of these 12 powers that speak to you this morning, and then we'll put them in the salt tray. If you would put them in the back first, that will prevent you from burning up your long sleeves later if you happen to be in the front row. So, yes.
And we want,
I could. And I'm going to give my chair to John so he can come up.
Perfect.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Silence while we do this, so everyone has an opportunity to I have the pleasure of standing here looking down on all of this wonderful candlelight. It's really beautiful, and thank you all for creating it. It's time now for our healing prayer. And if you would like to focus our collective group healing energy for someone, you can speak out their name or hold them quietly in your hearts. Members of our church have requested that we send out healing prayers and energy to all people and animals displaced by war and natural disasters. The members of our communities who struggle to meet basic human needs, those we have lit candles for, and those you can mention now. We continue to pray for Phil and Fred and Dixie and John and Hallie and all of our dear friends who are welcoming healing into their lives. So if you would join me in the healing prayer. Beloved Mother, Father, God, we ask for the highest and greatest good for all and endeavor to see them through your eyes, knowing all is in divine order. Amen. And now it's our opportunity to give. We are so grateful for being part of the spirit of generosity, and of giving of our time, talent, and treasure. And we welcome each of these gifts from you as a member of our spiritual community. Let's say our offering prayer together as we hold our offering in our hands and hearts. Divine love, through me, blesses and multiplies all that I have, all that I give, all that I receive, and all that I am. Blessing of thanks together. We bless these gifts and send them forth to heal, bless, and prosper. They are evidence of our faith and belief. They do good work in the world and return to us multiplied abundantly. And so it is. And together we'll say our prayer of protection. The light of God surrounds us. The love of God enfolds us. The power of God protects us. The presence of God watches over us. Wherever we are, God is, and all is well. And we're gonna sing our peace song. Don't back up into candles, but I think we have room. And while you're circling up, I want to thank Joyce for all of the wonderful Christmas carols today and all month long. Beth for the reading, and Mark for the reading. Thank you for reading the Christmas story and the bonuses. Penny, thank you for the slides. Tom, thank you for the technical stuff and the healing of the camera you did. That was amazing. And all of you for helping to light the candles. It's just great. Next week is our burning bowl and white stone ceremony, so come and we'll have some hands-on fun again.